special this morning. Thank you for a good song service. My goodness, thank you for being here again today. I am glad that we have come together to be a part of this worship service today. You know, David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And we ought to be too. Since we have had announcements and such, I'm glad to see Michael Disney in church this morning. Amen. Bless your heart. The Disneys were part of a good church family, and they decided they had to move off to Nebraska and Florida and such. But man, it is good to see you guys. Amen. Your family is here? All right, praise the Lord. We'll see them later. They have a new baby since they've left, so we're excited about that. But it is great to see you guys this morning. I'm glad, man, we've got a good group this morning. I'm glad that you're here this morning, and I just praise the Lord for your being here. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I really am going to get back to 2 Timothy in a Sunday or two, okay, where we were for a few Sundays and kind of got sidetracked and such. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to look at a passage of Scripture there as we'll begin in just a moment. And I want us to look at some things this morning. And my prayer this morning, very genuinely, and I pray that we will be encouraged, convicted, motivated. What we learned about from Peter in 2 Peter, I hope we'll get stirred up a little bit. Folk, it's time we've got to get busy for Christ. We've got to get busy in the Lord's work. We've got to get going, all right? And I preach this morning considering a lot of things, okay? Pastors sometimes get discouraged, all right? Pastor that tells you, I don't ever get discouraged. Well, with all due respect, he's not being real truthful with you, okay? All right? I know enough pastors to know that. Now we have the Word of God to fall back onto, and that's what we're going to do. And you know, I've had a couple of 3 or 4, 7 things in the past couple of weeks that have kind of tried to knock the blocks out from under me and such, and I hope it will not bleed over into our church. I've decided I'm not going to let it. I mean that honestly. I'm not boasting this morning. I'm not going to let Satan get the best of me, all right, and everything. But we today can get past discouragement. We can get past the things that happen in life that are frustrating and that are perplexing and overwhelming. And I believe that we can do that by claiming the promises of God's Word. By claiming these promises. When we claim something, we take possession of it. We become the owners of it, so to speak. Now, there's obviously you can claim something that's not yours, but let's look at the logic here. We claim something. We take it at its word. We believe it. We embrace it. We put it in our hearts, and that's what I want us to do with some promises from God's Word this morning. A week ago, last Tuesday, almost 2 weeks ago, got up in my morning normal routine, and I came to the church, and I began to go through my process, and I'm a terrible creature of habit, and I do my normal routine and such, and I check my emails, okay? I check my emails, and there's an email there from a church family and a church member, And if you don't know, I'm just going to make an announcement. I'm going to make a comment about it, and we're going to go on from there, okay? All right? The Johnsons are not here. The Johnsons have chosen to leave our church, okay? The reasoning for this is they feel like they need to be in a church that permits and allows only the use of the King James Version Bible, okay? If that's their convictions, that's okay. I don't agree with that. If you agree with that, that's okay. Folks, that is not something that needs to become a point of fellowship that you can't worship together, okay? I'll assure you there's various versions out here this morning. I'm going to read to you from a King James Version. You go in my office, you'll find multiple versions that I use to study with and such as that. But anyway, the Johnsons have left our church. That is the reason why. And enough said. That's all I'm going to say about that. That was kind of discouraging to me. He and I had talked about this multiple times before. We had a discussion about it the Sunday evening before and everything, and I felt like this was probably going to happen That was kind of disheartening and discouraging to me as a pastor. By 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I was sicker than I had ever been in my life. I didn't know you could hurt so bad and such. And then I went through that mess for the last week and a half dealing with that. There's some a situation among friends of mine totally outside the church, has nothing to do with the church, but because they are such dear friends and such a close connection, that it's been frustrating to me. I'll use that term, and all such as that. And sometimes you just, my goodness, you know, why in the world? Well, you know, the why is because that's life, all right? Life's hard. And I'm not being a wimp this morning. I'm not being a pessimist, but that's the reality of it all. But, and praise God for that, I want you to listen to what God's Word tells us as children of God this morning. I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't understand, and I understand that, but I'm telling you what I want us to do this morning. I want us this morning to look into this Word of God, whatever version you've got, and I want us this morning to claim the promises that God has given us that will give us the victory as His children in this world that we live in today. As a church, as a family, as individuals, let us today move forward from this point on. You know, there's an old saying that today is the first day of the rest of your life, and that is an absolute, all right? It is the first day of the rest of your life. Let's take it from here and let's move forward, all right? Let's look back at the blessings and the goodness of God. And let's just look at what the blessings and goodness of God is today. And let's look forward to what God has given us in the future until He comes. I still hope He comes this afternoon. But I'm telling you, until He does, we've got a work to do. And here's how we can do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. He says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now then, and I'm going to read the next verse in a moment. As a rule, when we look at that passage of Scripture and the next one, we concentrate on the victory that is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the grand prize. That is the ultimate statement of this passage of Scripture. That is what we can rejoice in this morning. That is what we can get excited about. Folk, that victory comes in the Lord Jesus Christ through eternal salvation and the eternal hope of that salvation, the glory of what we have to look forward to, and all that we have in this life to carry out His Word until we get to that eternal glory. And I'm telling you this morning, folk, praise God for the victory that is ours in Jesus this morning. If you don't have that victory, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you've never been born again. Folks, if you've never been saved, don't let this opportunity pass and don't leave this facility this morning without knowing Christ as your personal Savior, without knowing with absolute certainty that you have accepted Christ and that you are saved. Then, and if you were to die today, God forbid, but if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home. Folks, that's the most important thing. That is an enormous passage. We could preach all day on that victory that we talk about right there. But I want to concentrate on what's in the next verse. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, remember this always. I've told you this a million times. When you see therefore, wherefore, it refers you back to what you've just read. Because of that victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Folk, I'm telling you this morning, I want us to be steadfast. I want us to be unmovable. I want us to be always abounding. And I want us to know that what we're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, if it is done for Him in humility and to honor Him and to serve Him and in our love and our appreciation for Him, folk, I'm telling you, it is never, ever, ever in vain. It is to be honored by Him, and He will honor us in our service for Him. Praise God this morning for that. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, that passage of Scripture, and we're going to hit it a lick here, and then we're going to get back to it at the end, all right? Steadfast. Steadfast comes from a Greek word from which we get the terminology that speaks of sedimentary rock. I want some of the air conditioner blowing on me, okay? This means sedimentary rock, the hard stuff, the stuff you want to get down to if you're building a foundation, the stone that's deep in the earth that is solid, that it's not going to be moved. It's steadfast. It is that which will hold. Let us be steadfast. Unmovable. Just simply that. Folk, a steadfast stone that can't be moved. My favorite illustration of that you've heard before is like the Rock of Gibraltar. All right? Now, there's rocks and then there's rocks, all right? You can go out here in the driveway in the yard and you can find a rock and you can kick it aside. Well, that's not steadfast and unmovable, all right? That's one of them's Petros and one of them's Petra, okay? I'm telling you what, that's not the kind of rock we're going to be. We're going to be that Rock of Gibraltar that stands out there in that sea and the waves and the storms and the things of life hit it every day, all day, 24/7, and they're coming from every side. It has to endure the wind and the rain and the snow and the forces of the sea and all that it endures every day. But folk, let me tell you what, it's just as strong and just as powerful today as it was many years ago. It's just as strong and just as powerful today as it will be tomorrow. And the next day, because it is a rock. It is steadfast. It is immovable. Oh, modern technology, we could probably destroy it today, but folk, let me tell you what. The forces of nature have hit against it for since the beginning, I assume. And it's still there. That's what we must be as a child of God. That's what we must be as a local New Testament church. We can't let the things that Satan throws our way discourage us. We can't let the things that Satan puts before us to pull us down and say, oh my goodness. You know, we think of the loss of a family in our church. We say, well, you know, my goodness, they probably gave offering and they did this and they did that. And yes, I'm telling you, and that's what Satan wants you to think. God wants you to think, let's go on. Let's move on. We can't change the past. We can't undo the past. We're going to go forward. We're going to go onward. We're going to go outward. We're going to do what God would have us to do as we are steadfast, unmovable, and in doing that, we will always be found abounding in the work of the Lord. Folk, I love the word abounding. The word abounding means to excel. It means to have in excess. It means an abundance thereof. Folk, listen to me today. In the work of the Lord, we can have the abundance thereof. But it must be our work in and with and through and empowered by the Lord God Almighty. I want to share, and I'm going to go through these quickly. I don't want you to have to, we're not going to take time to look them all up. You might want to jot them down for further reference, I hope you'll make. But I want you to listen to some passages of Scripture from the inspired, infallible, and errant Word of God. And I want you to see that these things, directly from God's Word, I'm going to give very little exposition on them. These things, directly from God's Word, will enable us to go into life steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. This is what will allow us to do that. Here it is. Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, this is one of the first passages of Scriptures I remember memorizing as a kid. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. Paul didn't write to us under inspiration and say, you know, there's a few things you'll be able to accomplish out there. You may be able to get some things done. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, but that was the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was no sinner saved by grace, just like you and me. As a matter of fact, before he got saved, he was a whole lot worse than you and me, all right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Six verses later, he says, my God, I like to say our God, can supply all our needs through Christ Jesus. He can supply all of our needs. He can supply everything we need to carry out His Word. He will never call us, ask us, encourage us, command us to do anything that He will not equip us to do, that He will not provide for us to do, that He will not be there with us to do, and He is there for us. Folk, listen today. If I can do all things through Christ, and it's because God can supply all of our needs through Christ Jesus, folk, what, we've got everything we need right there in those two verses alone. Folk, I'm telling you what. And the God that can supply all things and do all things, He is the one who we're told in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Folk, think about that. Abundantly, exceedingly above all that we ask or think. Folk, I'm telling you, you just think of the ultimate. You think of the maximum. You think, my goodness, I'd like to see our church running 120 on Sunday morning. Oh, I would too, but wouldn't it be great to see it running 300? You know, God can do that. Now, we're going to get to our part in a minute, okay? We're going to get to our part in a minute, so don't just hang on. But folk, I'm telling you, we serve a God today that can do exceeding abundantly above anything and everything and all things that we can ask or even think about, even comprehend, even begin to imagine, and we can do that, and it is to Him be glory through the church, the local New Testament church. Folk, listen to me, and if this applies to you, change, okay? And if it applies to your friends, encourage them, all right? Folk, people will tell you, well, I can worship God outside the church. I can serve God just as well outside the church. You cannot. You cannot. No, sir. This institution is God's established method and methodology of carrying out His work and His will today. Yes, we worship God. You don't have to be in a worship service on Sunday morning to worship God. We ought to do it all day, every day with our very lifestyle and such as that. But folk, let me tell you what. Active involvement and participation in a local new church is an important and, I think, essential role. Now, that doesn't take you to heaven. But folk, to be what God would have you to be, you've got to have it. It is through the church that He receives honor and glory. And it is through the church and those working that make up the church that we can find exceeding abundantly above and more than we could ever imagine, ask, or think. In Matthew chapter 19 and Luke chapter 18, Jesus addresses, it's the same setting, it's the same account just given by one by Matthew and one by Luke, and this is a situation where Jesus is talking about rich people getting saved, and there's a direct application there, but we can broaden that with no disservice to the Scripture at all, where He says, with God, this is Matthew chapter 19, with God, all things are possible. Folk, do you believe that? With God, all things are possible. Luke puts it like this, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Folk, listen. We live in a day and a time when it's difficult and it's hard to get churches to grow if you're doing it right. If you're doing it right, I can draw a crowd, okay? If we just want to draw a crowd, I can do that. I can fill this building, and I'm not boasting. I can fill this building to overflowing in 3 weeks. I can do that. But folk, if you've got that kind of gimmick, the next week your gimmick better be better. And after that next week, that gimmick better be better. Folk, I want to fill it to overflowing with the truth of the Word of God. I want to fill it with the truth and the love of God, the compassion of God, the mercy of God. I want to fill it with the truth of the teaching of God's Word. I want to fill it with people that love Jesus, that come to hear His Word preached and teach. I want to fill it with people who come together. They want to fellowship together and sing together and pray together and be there for one another. I want to fill it with people that love not only Jesus but love one another. I want to fill it with people that have a conviction that they will serve the Lord and they're going to be steadfast and unmovable in their work for the Lord. Folks, that's what we can do. And let me tell you this morning, you say, Brother Sid, the day and time that we live in, I don't know that we can do that. You and me, we can, but me and you and God can, all right? I'm promising you we can this morning. Folk, listen, don't let the days that we live in be an excuse to justify giving up. We're not going to do it. Don't let discouragement that comes because of things that happen within our lives and with our church, don't let that be what gets you down and say, well, Brother said, I just don't believe it's ever going to work. I don't believe we're ever going to get turned the corner. Folk, listen to me. Let's straighten out the corner with God and go on. It's what we've got to do. We've got to go forward. We've got to go onward, outward. We've got to do that. And remember, when we think about, now the magnitude of the task is pretty great. All right? I'm telling you it is. We do live in a time when it's hard. We do live in a time when people are not interested in the truth. We do live in a time when people are not interested in church. We do live in a time where the bells and whistles and the gimmicks of religion will draw a bigger crowd than the Word of God will. But folk, let me tell you, don't forget that God said that with Him nothing is impossible. With Him all things are possible. We can do it. We say, well, look at this. We're not a very big group. I think of old Gideon. Gideon was called to battle by God. He looked out there and, whoo, what an enemy he had. Old Gideon had him pretty big army, though. Gideon was one of the judges of the people of Israel in the book, during the terrible time of the book of Judges. Gideon looked around and Gideon had, I think it was 32,000 soldiers. That's a pretty good army. I don't care who you're fighting against. God said, that's too many. If you go out there and win with that, you'll brag about it. God says, that's too many. Gideon, you go out there and win 32,000, you'll say, look what we did. Your men will say, look what we did. He said, I tell you what you do. This is real quick and real condensed. You tell the folks that are scared to go home. He said, you take the folks that, and he put them to a test of how they looked around for the enemy while they drank water and such as this. Anyway, long story short, when it was all said and done, that army of 32,000 men was cut down to 300. Folk, he was outnumbered, he was outmanned, he was outtrained, he was out everything. Gideon went with that 300 men and they strategically placed themselves in the wake. This is interesting. God told him to do it. God told him to do it. He didn't consult the latest arms expert and such as that. He did it the way God said to do it. And I'm telling you, long story short, when it was finished, that little old group of 300 had defeated an enormous army, and they had never even got into the battle. They got them so confused, they fought among themselves and killed themselves. Folks, don't think this little group in this building this morning can't do it. We can with God. We can with God. We have. We will. We're going to. We can with God. For with God all things are impossible. And remember this, Luke told us this also, for things impossible with man are possible with God. Things that are impossible for you and me, we can do with God. And folk, how glorious it is that it is us that God will use in the instrumentality to get that work accomplished. God will work with us and through us. Folk, it's impossible. Can't happen. Let me tell you, one of the greatest things that's happened in biblical history, and it's we're about to celebrate the 70th anniversary of it here in just a few days. And I'm telling you, look at the world from history back as far as it goes until history, until the 1940s when it did happen and such. 1948, in May of 1948, the nation of Israel became a sovereign nation once again. Folk, listen. You know why that happened? Because God wanted it to, intended for it to, and it was a part of His fulfillment of God made to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. Folk, listen. Political scientist, military strategist, political powers will tell you there's no way that that little old group of people of Israel that went down into Egypt because of a famine with 70-some souls could come out in years and thousands of years later become a sovereign nation once again because they had been under the bondage of everybody and anybody for thousands of years. Folk, listen. God can. And with God, He will. And He'll do that for us. How in the world? Folk, listen. Can we today, and this is a term that is, it's difficult to fully define and explain and such when we think about church work and God's work and such, and that is success. What constitutes success as a church? And that's a whole other sermon, all right, because it is a little difficult, but I love what God told Joshua. I love what God told Joshua. He says, only be thou strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto them, unto their fathers, to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law, that's the Bible, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to it, from it, to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not... Wait, let's back up. I read to that much too quickly. Turn not from this, the word of God, all right, to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Folk, listen, when we get into the Word of God, we learn it, we read it, we study it, we embrace it, we make it a part of our lives, we don't depart from it to the right, to the left, we don't manipulate it, we don't try to change it for our own good and to make it say what we want to say, and we just take it at face value, and folk, we trust in it, we put our confidence in it. Folk, I'm telling you today, we will find success and prosperity. And it'll be a scriptural success and prosperity. We can do it, brother, this morning. We can do it as we come together to serve Him in all of those things. Folk, listen. Read the first Psalm. Oh, blessed is the man, to paraphrase, that separates himself from the evils and the sin of the world and gives himself to God Almighty. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Folk, you go out and plant you a real pretty oak tree out in the middle of the Sahara Desert. About 2 days, it's a stick. It's a stick. You take that same oak tree and you go down here up by the Arkansas River and you get out about, you don't have to get very close. You get 15, 20 feet from the old banks of the Arkansas River and you plant that tree. And I'm telling you, it'll flourish. It'll have leaves of green on it. It'll produce hickory nuts if it's an oak tree, whatever it is. I'm telling you, it's because it's getting everything it needs. Folk, I'm telling you where we get everything we need, and it's from this river of life, this water of life, this bread of life, this meat, this word of God, this sword right here. Folk, everything we need is right here. It's not another how to figure out to amuse our children and entertain our children. It's not another way to figure out how to have another fellowship and another study and another this and another that. It's the Word of God, and we can get together as a church and we can work together, serve together, and get it accomplished, and we can do those things. We can find that success and prosperity. It is ours for the having. It is ours for the receiving. And too many churches, including ours, we're dawdling along and we're falling by, and we're not accomplishing everything God needs us to, wants us to, don't have everything that He wants for us, because, well, we have got to get going and we've got to accept the Word of God and the promises therein. Don't forget, my God can supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Don't forget, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Hey, don't forget, my favorite, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Listen, I want us this morning as a church to look old Satan right in the face. Right in the face this morning. And like Jesus told Peter, say, Satan, get thee behind me. I don't want you anymore. I'm not going to let you influence me anymore. I'm not going to let you dominate me anymore. Satan, get thee behind me. I'm not going to be discouraged anymore. We and the few, my 300 of Gideon, are going to go out and win the battle and win the victory. Folk, we got to go this morning. We got to do it. Put your faith in God. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus this morning. Faith is described in Hebrews chapter 1. If you ever want a definition for faith, don't go to Google and don't go to Webster. Go to God's Word in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Very simple, very plainly put, most proficient definition for faith that there is anywhere. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Folk, faith makes reality out of that which you can't get a hold of. Faith makes reality out of that which you have not yet seen. All right? Always use the same illustration. this old pulpit's made out of wood, a little bit of metal, screws and glue and such. I can get a hold of it. I bang on it. You can hear it. You can see it. You can look at it. It takes zero faith to see this because of the reality of it before you today. You don't have to. If you don't believe, when we get finished, come up and you can peck on it, okay? Don't take any faith. I am just as absolutely certain that there is a heaven awaiting me when the throne of God, Jesus Christ, is sitting with a river of life running beneath it. I am just as certain of that. I am just as sure that He's coming to take me to be with Him. I am just as certain as He sits at the right hand of God waiting for me and making intercession for me today. I am just as absolute certain today that His grace is sufficient and that His strength is made perfect in my weakness. I am absolutely as certain today of all of those things as I am the fact that I'm leaning on this pulpit at this very moment. Folk, that is faith, and that's what faith will do for you. Folk, this morning, let us put our faith in God. Let us pray to God. Let us talk to God. Let us ask of Him. And folk, we're told by Jesus Himself in Mark chapter 11, when you pray, believe. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Folk, I'm telling you, does that sound like a God who has a purpose for His church that will let that church fail? No, it does not. It is not. It is a God that wants this church, Unity Missionary Baptist Church. Now, we're not the only one, but He wants this church to prosper and to succeed. He wants this church to get out from under the discouragement of the various things that may come along our way. He wants this church to stand victorious in the grace of God and the love of God and the strength of God. I appreciate a statement that I heard recently, and I'm not going to tell you who made it because you all know them. But the statement was made about that passage for my grace is sufficient for you. It's made by Apostle Paul over talking to the Corinthians. And actually it was a quote. He was quoting Jesus Himself. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. A lot of discussion about what that is. And he asked God to remove the thorn. Lord, please take this thorn from me. Please take this burden from me. Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do it. But He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness, in weakness. A comment was made to me by someone that recently was going through an extremely difficult night. And he said, we need to realize our weakness. And I don't remember the exact quote, but he said, when we realize our weakness, when we realize that we can't do it, when we realize that we got to sit back and God, this is in your hands, I'm telling you, that's when God can work. That's when God can go to work. Folk, listen to me. Without God, we are nothing and nobody. But I'm telling you, with God, we are everybody. We are all things with God. We can claim all of these promises with God. Back to our text real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. This is a passage that comes after a teaching on the resurrection in the whole chapter of verse 15. Because of the resurrection, because of the victory that is ours, folk, the victory over death, hell, and the grave. The victory over the sting of death. The victory over all of the things of this life that comes in the resurrection. Folk, because of those, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We've got to do the work. We've got to do the work. But folk, listen, I want you to start into the work claiming these promises we've looked at. I want you to go into the work this morning claiming the promises that I can do all things through Christ. I want you to go into the work of the Lord of this church and of your life, going knowing that God's going to supply me everything I need, that God's going to give me everything that I need to accomplish this task. Folk, He never ever lets anybody down in the sense that He tells you, go do this and we'll figure and just see how well you can do. No, sir, He says, you go do this, and I'll equip you and supply you and provide for you everything. Study the nation of Israel. Folk, I'm telling you, study the New Testament church of the book of Acts. Folk, I'm telling you today, we can today. We, being you and me and God, we can accomplish what this church needs to do. We're going to turn this church around, folks. And I want to ask you this morning, I pray this morning, that you will just look deeply within your heart. And I pray that you will take and claim these promises that we've read this morning. Claim these promises this morning is real and legitimate for you and for me and for this church. And let's make a deep, renewed commitment today. And don't promise me nothing. But I want you to promise God that, God, I'm going to do my part. For the work that we do. It's work, all right? You can't sit back here on your stool to do nothing, whittle on your stick and do less and say, well, Lord, just Lord bless us. Lord, it's hard and times are hard and things are bad. And just wait for God to dump it in your lap. We got to get out and go. We got to get out and do. Folk, I want to challenge you this morning to renew your commitment to do just that. God, I will do the work. You have provided for me everything I need. You will provide for me everything I need. I will do the work. If we, in this building this morning, not many of us, if we will do the work, I believe we can see the promise of the book of the passage from Ephesians that He will bless and He will do exceedingly abundantly more than we've ever imagined. This morning, back to where we started, do you have the victory that comes in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you don't, that's the most important decision to be made in this whole congregation this morning, is to accept or reject Christ. Please accept Him this morning. Child of God, we all need to renew a commitment to God to work and claim His promises in doing so. And when you claim these promises, the work ceases to really be work. It ceases to be, it's not a drudgery. It's not like dragging along a load that's more than we can carry. Jesus said, my load is easy. Folks, listen to me today. Maybe today you need to finally just step up in faith and say, you know what? I've been saved and I need to follow the Lord in baptism and become a part of this church. Maybe today the Lord is leading you to this church in some other way. Man, I tell you what, we would love to have you. We need you. God's work needs you. God's church in this, meets in this facility needs you. We would praise God if you would come today. Maybe as a child of God, as a church member, and has been for years, says, Brother Sid, I just want to renew my commitment so that we can indeed stand fast, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.